This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, yes, from Abraham Lincoln, William McKinley, Gerald Ford, Rutherford B. Hayes, James Buchanan, John Quincy Adams, all our presidents. Today is President's Day. I am Dan Day. Along with Alex Dono, we are celebrating a President's Day, and to be honest with you, Dono, pretty wacky day for the sports world. You and I were talking before the show, lot to get into.
Oh my gosh, so much to get into, and happy President's Day to all. However you celebrate or observe this day, just taking some time with family. We're going to be later on today, and I am working a lot today, including now. I mean, Dan and I are working early this morning. I got an episode of Locked On Canes, Locked On ACC. I'm going on some Tennessee Titans show later today to talk about Cam Ward because they're probably going to be drafting him. So we got a full day ahead. But if you're doing any other stuff with your family, we're going to see the new Captain America movie today. And Dan, the primary reason why, because I feel like I had enough Marvel like 10 years ago. Like after they made the third event, like I'm good. Like after the third Avengers movie, The loop was closed for me. I'm like, I could just go on with my life. But I got to see the new Captain America because Danny Ramirez, who's a huge Miami fan, I guess he's the new Falcon. The actor who plays the new Falcon. Not only like the actor in real life, huge Miami fan. He threw out the first pitch at the baseball game yesterday. But he actually, I don't know how long this happens on screen, but he wears a University of Miami shirt on screen in the movie, so I got to see it just for that.
Yeah, now you got to see it.
My guy Danny Ramirez.
You have to see that if they're going to represent in the movie for the U. Yeah. Absolutely, that's must see. Last night's NBA All-Star game was must not see. Basically, I don't know if you watched any of it, Alex Dono.
Sadly, yes.
Of course, Tyler Hero, our guy, he represented himself very well this weekend, winning the 3-point competition, the fifth Miami Heat team member to win that in its history. He also scored 6 points yesterday, but man, what happened to the NBA All-Star game? It used to be so cool.
Yeah, and like all of these weird formats that they try. I mean, the one where like I never understood the scoring where and somehow like teams would score 396 points in the old format. But then this new format, and first of all, it's not so much about the format, but it's like the NBA All-Star is not about basketball anymore. It's like all these breaks and all this Kevin Hart. And then like you bring in the whole TNT crew to waste. Like, you find another time to do it. Like, I'm not saying don't honor, you know, Kenny and Chuck and Shaq, because they obviously do a tremendous job, and Ernie. But it's like, just, I don't know. It was so herky jerky. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know what I'm watching. Like this, the NBA All-Star game used to be, you know, back in my day, if I'm going to sound a little old here for a second, like it just used to be a good display and it was about the game. Like the NBA All-Star, it should be about basketball and it should be celebrating the game itself. And and these amazing players. And of course, it was, you know, unfortunate that LeBron, you know, opted out of the All-Star game like a couple of hours before. You know, that kind of stuff happens, I guess. But I don't know, man. It's just it's hard. It's a painful watch, I will say that. Where, you know, the 3-point competition, I guess, has been my favorite thing for a few years. I was really happy to see Tyler Hero win it. But the actual NBA All-Star game on Sunday night, to me, it's become a hard no at this point, unless they can find a way to save the format and just make it a little bit more continuous basketball.
It was kind of upsetting, too, because it seemed like Tyler Hero was one of the few people that was there really, really excited to compete and be there and to have been invited. And then you got Steph Curry pulling up from the midcourt line, and you got nobody playing defense and people joking around and some guys on the sidelines high-fiving players. I don't even know who they are. So the NBA's got to figure it out. It's fun to watch in a way, but another way you kind of just wonder what the hell is going on. But that's not the big story today, Dono. Really, really interesting stuff coming out about Bullygate. Of course, we here in South Florida know all about that. The whole Jonathan Martin situation. He recently kind of cleared the air and said, I don't feel as though I was ever really bullied, kind of vindicating Richie Incognito. And Richie Incognito, never one to shy away, has basically just gone online and said, yeah, it was his mom's narrative. He didn't want to give up his money, his signing bonus. I never bullied him. He posts a ton of pictures of he and Jonathan Martin and some of the other offensive linemen hanging out, I mean, right before the walk-off game and everything like that. And it kind of seems like, and I'm just going to say, you know, Richie Incognito kind of got a bad rap, it's starting to look like.
I mean, this, in a way, I know he was able to get back into the NFL and had some good years, you know, in Buffalo after the whole thing came off the rails in Miami. But Bullygate kind of ruined his life, Richie, and it tarnished his reputation. Like he had mental breakdowns like after that, which I don't think would have happened if not for Bullygate, in my opinion, because it really tarnished his reputation. And, you know, the Dolphins had an offensive line coach fired over it when Jonathan Martin, you know, a decade later. And by the way, like I'm not going to celebrate Jonathan Martin now, 10 years later. And because people are trying to frame it that way, like, oh, look at this, amazing. He's admitting it. How great is he admitted he left? Where was this 10 years ago, J-Mart? Where was this 10 years ago to admit you lied about being bullied? Because, Dan, you know, this story is near and dear to my heart because, you know, I was on QAM daily back when this broke, the Bullygate thing. I was, you know, doing middays on this station. And the day that Ted Wells report came out, because the NFL sent in Ted Wells to investigate. And he published a 144-page report detailing all of the awful bullying that he found in the Dolphins locker. And so most people didn't actually read the report, because if it's not your job, like I felt like it was my job to read it. So I read the whole 144-page thing. Most people just saw a few excerpts. I read the whole thing. And Dan, it was a clown show. Like the Ted Wells report was absurd. I remember before the report came out, I was kind of on board with the idea that, hey, maybe he really did bully him and this was terrible. And then I read the Ted Wells report. And I'm like, this guy is, first of all, he's making overly dramatic tales about stuff that sounded kind of mundane, locker room stuff. And it was written like a preteen novel. Like, it was very bizarre. And so I actually, before reading the Wells report, I thought, yeah, this is a terrible thing. Richie Incognito is probably an awful guy. Then I read the Wells report. I'm like, this whole thing. So basically, to me, a lesson to be learned here is, because I feel that the NFL and Ted Wells, they railroaded Richie Incognito. If you go into an investigation already knowing what your conclusion is and what you want to find, because clearly the NFL's mission was, hey, like we want to paint this picture of this awful locker room culture, and this is why the league needs to reform, and we're holding people accountable, you know, anti-bullying campaigns, which is important, like for children, you know, but bullying was a big issue at that time, like anti-bullying campaigns and stuff. So the NFL, they sent Ted Wells and they're like, Ted, find us some bullying in there. Okay. And that was and when you have your conclusion beforehand, and Wells is a lawyer, lawyers have this ability and this power to weave whatever narrative they want to tell. And that's exactly what happened here. So 10 years later or 11 years later, whatever it's been, Jonathan Martin now admits he never felt like he was getting bullied. If he admits that now, Dan, how did Ted Wells go into the Dolphins organization and come up with a 144-page report about how much bullying was going on? The answer is Incognito and the other guys implicated were railroaded. They never had a fair shake. They never had a chance. And honestly, if I'm Richie, I'm thinking about suing some folks out there. I'm thinking about suing Roger Goodell. I'm thinking about suing Ted Wells because there was legitimate damage done to his reputation. And you can probably prove, you know, millions of dollars lost for Incognito's career due to the taint that came from bullying.
And the mental anguish on itself right there.
Yeah.
Richie Incognito was vilified. I can't even explain how much because I wasn't living here at the time. When it first came out, nationally vilified. And then you started talking to people like yourself who read the report and said, you know, he's not as bad as they're making him out to be. And just saying that, you would automatically be like, oh, how dare you? How dare you support the bully, the crazy, the lunatic that is Richie Incognito? And people would always tell me, well, you really should read it. I don't know if it's as bad. No. And, you know, we're so quick to say, you know, shut it down. No. Richie Incognito. And then everything he did was under a microscope. I could only imagine the mental anguish that Richie Incognito went through and how his name has just been dragged through the mud. And now it's coming out that, oh yeah, it probably wasn't that bad. No, you know, Jonathan Martin's like, maybe I wasn't really bullied. I don't feel as though I was bullied. And now it's kind of like maybe Jonathan Martin just didn't want to give up some of his money because the contract. Right. Richie Incognito came out and said he wasn't good enough to be in the pros. That's why he left the team, not because we're chasing him down. And like I said, there's pictures that he's been posting online, Richie Incognito. They're hanging out, going to dinners, laughing. They're at bars, at clubs, joking around. And, you know, it sounds bad because if 2013, if you just said this, it's like maybe Richie Incognito isn't that bad of a guy.
Well, it's, you know, and I covered the team in the locker room in those days as well. Like I was going to practices and obviously, like, you don't get the full context, like the media, you don't see everything. You're in and out of the locker room for interviews and stuff. But you get to see the vibe a little bit in the locker room. And I always got the impression, you know, before the scandal, which was not really a scandal now, it turns out, I always got the impression that Jonathan Martin was like a little brother to Incognito. Like the two of them seem really tight. Like that entire O-line seemed tight. And Richie, in a lot of ways, was the leader of that O-line. So that was another thing when the allegations came out that, oh, Martin is gone because Incognito was bullying him. That was so surprising because the two of them seemed really close. And then Incognito throws out all those pictures. So, you know, again, like now that we've come to, and it was Adam Schefter in this, you know, report. And by the way, Incognito is mad at Schefter because Schefter now comes out and says, oh, look at this. Martin was lying, where, you know, Schefter was basically hanging Incognito out to dry when all this stuff first came out. But, you know, it's in the Schefter article where Jonathan Martin admits, I never felt like there was bullying taking place and all that. So then the follow up question would be, why did he lie about it? And you mentioned something about the money. This, according to, and I don't even remember the stuff about the signing bonus. Like I probably covered that, you know, when this was happening, but I didn't recall. But so Incognito says that, hey, one of the reasons why he lied about it, and, you know, Jonathan Martin's mother, who I think is like a PhD professor, you know, very, very intelligent woman, allegedly helped weave this lie so that he could keep his signing bonus. Cause because normally when you quit your NFL team, Dan,
yeah,
you have to get back your signing bonus normally. But when you quit your NFL team, but then accuse one of your teammates of bullying you and you create a scandal, you end up keeping your signing bonus, which was the case. But I don't feel like this was primarily motivated by finances though, Dan, honestly, because you brought something else up that, hey, if you're just not good enough or not tough enough to play in the NFL, which seems to be the case for Jonathan Martin, that's pretty embarrassing. So if you quit on your team, which is an awful look, and, you know, maybe you come up with a lie that saves face and vilifies somebody else, the lie is sometimes more convenient than the truth. And Omar Kelly wrote a column about this last night, and he said something similar to that, and I thought he hit the nail on the head that, listen, it's unfortunately, it's human nature. people lie. We have all lied, except for Dan Day, who's never even told a fib or a white lie in his entire life. My nose is growing right now when I say that. But it is human nature, because unfortunately, sometimes telling lies, more convenient, easier, makes you look better or feel better than telling the truth. And that seems to me, I would say it was probably more pride-driven than financially driven, why Jonathan Martin thought, hey, instead of me being the guy who deserted my NFL team, let me be the guy who like starts this anti-bullying movement and changes the NFL. That was probably a better narrative for him to weave.
Oh, goodness. And of course, the Dolphins season that year, not all that great. A lot of his former teammates have come out and said he's not the reason. This whole situation was not the reason. We were up and down no matter what. So that's not, you know, kind of, you know, give him a little bit of out on that. But I think one of the main takeaways is this: bullying should be taken very seriously, but also accusations of bullying should be taken very seriously. They should not be laissez-faire, just throw it out there, because look what it's done to people's lives and look what it's done to, you know, just the whole situation and the organization. It should be taken very serious when it's done, and accusations should be taken very seriously.
Yeah, no, 100%. And NFL investigation should be taken more seriously instead of sending Ted Wells in there like, Ted, we already know what the last page is going to be, terrible bullying taking place. You just fill in the other 143 pages to make it look like that works for us, all right? Like, you know, we need to have more unbiased investigations, because didn't Ted Wells was the same guy who wrote the Deflategate report, which I think happened a couple years later. And that was enough. And I read that one as well. And again, like it seemed, you know, I know hating New England is something that we do down here, but it's still to this day, it seems absurd that taking like a PSI out of a football was something we made into such a big deal. Like it's absurd. Like, I'm sorry. Again, I know we hate New England and, oh, they're cheaters, but, you know, the Spygate stuff, very serious. Deflategate, I thought that was a joke.
Yeah, and you talked to a lot of people that were independent experts, truly independent, and they're like, honestly, it really does nothing whatsoever. No, it built the dynasty, it built the legacy. No, it really didn't do very much at all. The deflating or the inflating and all this other stuff. But nonetheless, they're like, by the letter of the law, they broke the rules. Nah, nonetheless. Yeah, you can't send people in and tell them what the narrative needs to be in their investigation, because then you get 144 pages that say the guy's being bullied, when now the guy says, hey, I don't feel I was bullied. Okay, we're good, right? How does that conversation go? So, Richie, we're good, right? We're all right.
Yeah, right. They're going to be hanging out again.
Yeah. I really miss hanging out, bro. Like, oh, man. And luckily, Richie Incognito did get back into the league, and he had some quality years, albeit with Buffalo and some other teams. But he's vilified. His name was vilified and dragged through the mud. And it's one of those things, you have that scarlet letter on you, for better or for worse. And maybe now he can get some clarity. But yeah, this thing might not be over yet. If I'm Richie Incognito, I'm not Mr. Lawyer Up, but I don't know, some damage has been done. I will admit that, because you say his name and you automatically kind of pull back, you know, at least up to this point.
Yeah, and listen, Ed, all this to say, you know, Richie is not—he's not a choir boy.
Like, no.
He's got a few—he's got a few screws loose. That's actually one of kind of the trademarks for him, is that, you know, he's someone who's got a bit of a short fuse, going to be a little bit unpredictable. That's sort of part of his persona. But, you know, but, and again, that's the context of what it was like in the Dolphins locker room. And when Ted Wells went in there, he didn't understand that context, that, you know, Richie is an alpha. He's kind of a crazy person, but he's not a bully.
Right. Absolutely. So we're going to keep looking into this and see how all this goes. But let's lighten the mood a little bit early in the morning. I know, Dono, you always like to take a step into the day spa.
Sure do.
Get a hold of this. An Orlando man canceled his date with a woman, so she attacked him with a gardening tool.
Dang. Well, what kind of gardening tool?
You know.
A rake? A shovel?
No, you know. I don't know. It might be too early for me to say it, but you know. You know what tool it was.
Okay.
What a What a woman. What a woman.
Well, and that did this cancellation of the date that happened on Valentine's weekend, which is not a good time to cancel a date with your lady. And I took my wife out last night. We went out, couldn't get any reservations on Friday night on actual Valentine's Day. So we went out on Sunday. I did not cancel on her or she would have beaten me with a garden tool.
Yeah. Never go on Valentine's Day, though, because you oftentimes get a restricted menu. You get special pricing. Yeah. It's always
special
crowded.
Special surcharge. Like, special convenience fee. Like, oh, we're going to have $20 added to your bill for the convenience of us hosting you on Valentine's Day.
$10 tap water. Okay. No free refills. Okay. I love you, baby. I love you. So, yeah. So, we're going to get into more of this Richie Incognito stuff. But there was some fighting and some beating and some whoopings and some terrorizing this past weekend, and I'm not gonna lie, I was all for it, Dono. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but we had some brothers that represented our country very, very well over the weekend, and made me very proud. Very, very proud.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get down to business, Alex Dono.
If you say so.
When it comes to hockey.
Oh, yes, sir.
We're all in on the Tkachuk brothers, but even more so on USA hockey.
We made Canada the 51st state the other night, Dan. I mean, that was a glorious victory.
Let me set it up for you. Thursday night, the U.S., they're playing Finland in Montreal, Four Nations face-off. So you got United States, Canada, Finland, Sweden. It's basically kind of like a round-robin tournament. USA, Finland, Montreal. So, of course, before every game, do the national anthem. Canadians in the crowd, or some Canadians in the crowd, decide to boo the U.S. flag and our national anthem here in the United States.
I felt like I was at a pro wrestling event. You know how like they always used to play up Canada versus the USA, and you'd boo like Bret the Hitman Hart. But then when he was in Canada, they would boo the USA. That's what I felt like when I was watching that.
Yeah. So, you know, very disrespectful for whatever reason you choose to boo, and it's freedom of speech, so I give you that. But very disrespectful to boo basically a whole country. And especially your team isn't even playing. So that sets up Saturday night, USA-Canada. There's already bad blood. It's a rivalry. It's great. It's crazy. They ask Matthew Tkachuk after the game, how'd you feel about people in the crowd booing the American flag? Matthew Tkachuk kept it real simple. He said, I didn't appreciate it. That's all I'm going to say. Because Matthew Tkachuk, he don't talk with his mouth. He talks with his hands.
And the gloves are off. Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel. Hagel from Tampa Bay, Tkachuk from Florida. Did not see this coming.
So you drop the puck. Drop the gloves, Matthew Tkachuk. If you don't think it had a little something to do with that, it sure did, man.
Three fights in the first 9 seconds.
That's right. So they pull Matthew Tkachuk. They pull him off the ice.
Just saying, like it's something magical about hockey that it's like it's so pure, right? I mean, in any other sport, you throw hands, it's like everyone's ejected and you're suspended for life. In hockey, you throw hands, hey, you spend a few minutes in the penalty box. So okay.
So the second Matthew Tkachuk goes to the penalty box, they clear everything up. They drop the puck again, and his brother said, oh, hold up.
This was set.
And here they come, right.
Right before the first Tkachuk fight, this was set up. Here you go. Bennett in the lineup for the first time. Brady gets the better of this one.
So Brady Tkachuk, now he goes after Sam Bennett. That's our guy, but, you know, he plays for Canada, so, you know, welcome to the game. Nonetheless, Matthew Kachuk's coming out of the penalty box. He's fired up. He and his brother both are sitting in the penalty box forever. I couldn't have been more proud. I was so happy. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a big fan of the Tkachuks. It's like the icing on the cake that they're American, because obviously, like, most of the great hockey players over the years are Canadian or European. So you take a little extra pride when you have great American players, especially to have a great one like Matthew Tkachuk playing for your team, man. I mean, that was awesome. And hockey, there's just something special about that. And I'm trying to get my son a little bit more into hockey. He's finally starting to appreciate sports over the past several months. honestly, Cam Ward is the guy who got my son into sports. Like, he loves doing the celebration and stuff. So he started liking college football. He likes soccer now. He's getting more into hockey and basketball. So, but yeah, and I love it to be able to see America and Florida Panthers players getting represented on the big stage like this is superb.
Yeah, and you've got Panthers players on all four teams. Of course, the United States has advanced with that win to the championship game. They do have a game tonight against Sweden, but don't expect very much. They're going to rest everybody. Matthew Tkachuk did leave the game the other night with a quote-unquote injury that wasn't specified, but he made some runs in the third, kind of get moving and growing. U.S. did. Now, give Connor McDavid some credit. When the Tkachuk brothers are sitting in the penalty box for 10 minutes, he goes in there and scores a goal, and then it was all downhill from there for them. Team USA gets three goals. We win 3-1 over Canada in a match that was not really – first of all, it was a fantastic game, by the way. What a game. What a game. Not just the fights, the aggressiveness. They said it was like playoff hockey, all the guys on the ice. Yeah. So to say it doesn't mean anything, like that All-Star game last night in the NBA, this Four Nations means something. These guys are ready to go.
Yeah, and to the point where I feel like they should make a more international flavor for the NBA All-Star game. Like, I've seen some people suggesting USA versus the world, you know, because there's just something, add a little extra to it. World Cup, Olympics, anytime you can bring up patriotism and pride in your nation, it adds extra stakes to events like this. I think it makes it more likely players will take it seriously when they're representing their country.
It is right? True.
I mean, if you just make like a random standard all-star game where you're basically just there for the photo ops and it's like a scrimmage, but then you make it where your nation is going up against other nations, that you don't want to let your country down.
That's the thing.
Something extra to
that. You're wearing an all-star jersey. You know, whatever. You put USA on your chest, it's a whole different animal. And, you know, same thing with other people in other countries. And that's what someone was asking me the other day. It's like, well, how did you feel about Brady Tkachuk going after our guy, Sam Bennett? I said, country over club.
Right.
And you know what? Bygones will be bygones, and I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue. And they're like, well, what's Matthew Tkachuk? And when he sees Sam Bennett when they come back to the Panthers, I was like, I don't think it's going to mean anything. I mean, his brother's the one that fought the guy. But right, exactly. Once again, I mean, at least for me, you know, some people can be different, but it's always country over club. Club's important, but country, you got USA on your chest or Canada on your chest or whatever on your chest, Italy on your chest. It just brings a different animal out. And, the All-Star game, if it's USA versus the world or however you want to break it up, that's different, man. It's going to be you feel as though there's just something in you. The pride is inside, and you just go at it.
Yeah, and it's always that way. You know, you think about if you're a big soccer fan and you cheer for certain clubs, but then you get to the World Cup and maybe you're a Barcelona fan who cheers for Spain, but, you know, you'll cheer for Real Madrid players to help Spain win. Like, I'm a big Azzurri fan, the Italian national team. You know, I cheer for Inter Milan. Juventus and Inter hate each other. But if you've got, you know, players from that other club that are helping your national team win, you put that aside. Like, you put that aside during the World Cup. Like, you just want to – you want to win the games. You want your country. And, of course, you know, USA fans, you know, you cheer for whichever, you know, different clubs you may not like the players on Team USA play for, you put that aside for the greater good. I think that's what it's all about. So yeah, I mean, for as much as Sam Bennett is my guy when he's a Florida Panther, when you're on Team Canada, you're not my guy in that moment. I'm Team Brady Tkachuk at that time.
I don't know what Brady Tkachuk was doing. If he just got so fired up and the closest person to him he wanted to fight, or if he was, you know, they had just finished a game, they had just played against each other, maybe there was still a little bit of bad blood, and he was just like, you know what, let's finish this on the international ice. I don't exactly know what was going on there. I don't know what was going through anybody's mind, but this is what I was thinking the night before. Maybe they're even rooming together because, you know, hockey guys, they're not prima donnas. They're tough. So you put Matthew
Tkachuk. They're probably doing like bunk beds, four to a room in hockey.
They're in dorm rooms up in Montreal.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you this. This is how the conversation between Matthew and Brady Tkachuk went the night before. Matthew just looked at Brady and goes, I go first. That's the end of the conversation. That's it.
Yeah.
He did not appreciate, and rightfully so, the people that booed the national anthem and the American flag. And to think that didn't have a factor in that. And of course, yes, like I said, it's a rivalry. And I think the fight also shows, like, we're here to win. We're here. You're not going to dominate us. You're not going to do that. But wow, like, literally, I really think Matthew Tkachuk looked at his brother and went, I'm going to go first. And Brady just said, all right, I got it. I got you. Let's go.
But by the way, this is funny. I've got the text line open, and I love how, like, people will just turn the radio on and then just assume we haven't already said something. Like, someone says, hey, why don't you mention that why? Okay. He said, why don't you mention why they're booing? I thought he said, why don't you mention that they were booing the anthem? He said, why don't you mention why? Obviously, Canada feels like they have their reasons to boo the anthem, but it doesn't mean as an American hockey player you have to appreciate your anthem getting booed, no matter what the reason is.
The speculation is it was over political reasons, which
sure.
I'm just stating facts. But once again, I'm going to ask the people that booed: is that the best place to stake your political views at an international hockey game?
Right.
With guys that are going out there for both sides, now Canada too. Most, they're going out there to entertain you and play a game. Like, goodness gracious. Yeah. But I pray now, please, 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 United States fans, because I think the final is going to be in Boston. Let's be respectful. Mm. Let's not be like those Canadians that did that. Like, to me, that's just an ultimate sign of disrespect.
It's going to be difficult for me, Dan, because I've got a rivalry with Canada that goes back decades.
We've got the audio. We've got it all. But yeah, I know you had gotten into it with the country of Canada for a while, and that's just going to add more fuel to the fire. But I'll tell you, man, these Four Nations games have been fantastic. And I was getting texts all weekend, like, Four Nations is putting the NBA All-Star game to shame. And, I mean, it really was it's been a pleasurable watch. And good thing the NBA All-Star weekend is over. Although it was great to see Tyler Hero hit the threes and, win the three-point competition. But I think that what the NBA All-Star game needs to add is a good old-fashioned not just guys invite the NBA All-Stars. Then on the night before, there needs to be a good old-fashioned 21 tournament where we figure out who the best playground NBA player is, where you get 5, 5, and 5 or whatever, and they just keep playing until whoever wins out on 21.
Yeah.
And it would be quick.
Yeah, it sounds a little gimmicky, but it could be fun.
But it'll be quick games because you figure you make a shot, and most of them are going to hit their 3 free throws and get the ball back, so... And then it's one-on-one, so there's a little more pride. Like, when you're in a game and I don't need to play defense, but if it's for you individually, maybe a little fun, maybe some action right there. But, yeah, the NBA All-Star game it's crazy. I like they're going to 40 points, and there's 3 or 4 teams going at it, and there's these huge breaks and gaps. Man. Tyler Hero did great, though. Tyler Hero seemed like he was really one of the few people taking it very seriously this weekend. And it showed because he had a good game last night and won the three-point competition.
Yeah, and his first time All-Star, to me, he's in a different context. Somebody like Steph Curry, who's lived at the All-Star game basically his entire career, where he's gotten to the point where he can, he was named MVP. He hit some, threes late in the game and all that. But he can kind of treat it more like a vacation, whereas, like, Tyler Hero, he works so hard to get to this point. And you think about all that he's been through over the years with, being named in every hypothetical trade that's ever been thrown out there for the past 4 or 5 years. He's kind of got even the Heat fan base is split between the Tyler stans and the Hero truthers and all that. Like, so, but everyone can agree, though, Hero is having a breakout season this year, deserves to be an All-Star, becomes the fifth, member of the Heat organization to win a 3-point competition, and then plays his butt off in the All-Star game as well. I'm not only really happy for Tyler Hero and really proud as a Miami Heat fan to see him representing this franchise, but I love the fact that, like you said, Dan, he seemed to be one of the guys who was really taking All-Star Weekend seriously, because I'm sure he appreciates being there more than most with the journey that he's had to get there.
Right, like LeBron James sat out last night. It's the first time he hadn't played in an All-Star game in 20 years. So, yeah, LeBron's been there, done that. So glad to have Tyler representing us and everything. Alex Dono is with us right now. Alex Dono is the guy that I go to for all my Miami Hurricanes football news and information. Paul Feinbaum recently said something interesting. We're going to get into that next, and you're going to kind of break it down for me, Dono. And a happy President's Day to you on this Monday. I am Dan Day, along with Alex Dono, filling in for Joe Rose and Hollywood Danny Rabinowitz. Before you know it, Dono, it's going to be football season here in South Florida, August 31st. Catholics versus convicts, as they say. Notre Dame, national runners up last year, come into town, 7:30, national game. Carson Beck, most likely going to be starting quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. Paul Feinbaum from ESPN, whether you like him or not, I'm not the biggest fan in the world. He does keep his finger on the pulse of college football. Was recently asked if Carson Beck can take the reins of a Miami Hurricanes team that was so close to the playoffs last year and bring them to the playoffs. And Paul Feinbaum basically said, yep, I think Carson Beck's the guy to bring him to the playoffs this season. He said, you know, he did have kind of a down season in Georgia. He said because the team was devoid of talent. I don't know if that's totally true. That is a little bit of an overstatement. But you do.
Honestly, there's something to that. If you compare, you know, what Georgia had around Beck, you know, 2023, he had that superb, you know, 4,000 yard season, made himself like the Heisman front runner to begin the following year, which was last year. But, you know, he had Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey to throw the football to that year, whereas the following year, Georgia led the nation in drops, right? It wasn't as reliable, his pass catchers. And then also, I can't remember where Georgia's running game ranked in 2023, but it was a lot better than last year. Last year, Georgia was 102nd in the country in rushing, Dan. 102nd in the country, and the offensive line wasn't that good. So, like, obviously, I'm not sitting here and telling you that, like, oh, Georgia had poor talent across the board, but there were certain areas where they didn't put Carson Beck in great situations when it came to, you know, not having a running game to really lean on, being one-dimensional, receivers not catching footballs. That was an issue last year. So there's a lot of truth to what Feinbaum said. Like, Georgia did not put Beck in a great situation last
year. And I do
year.
Want to be honest about this, and I'm not being a homer. I really do believe that he will lead this team to a college football playoff for a lot of reasons. Number one, last year you had a top-flight quarterback, and you were inches away, it seems like, from going to the college football playoffs. I still believe Carson Beck is another top flight quarterback that can lead this team, and you've learned from maybe the mistakes that happened last year, and you'll kind of build around and continue to grow with Mario Cristobal, and I believe you do take the step this year. And Carson Beck, he's not just like Cam Ward, but he's a guy that has a lot of experience, a lot of talent, a lot of knowledge, and he just breathes quarterback. So I have every reason to believe. My question is, what is the receiver room looking like for the Miami Hurricanes so far?
Yeah, I think they could still probably add another experienced player there because they lost a lot from last year. Xavier Restrepo, they lost Jacoby George, Sam Brown, Elijah Arroyo at tight end. They lost Isaiah Horton, who transferred to Alabama. CJ Daniels, someone who transferred in from LSU, I think can maybe be one of the starters, probably one of the starters this year. JoJo Trader, who was a true freshman last year, stepping in his sophomore season, I think he can probably start. He showed some good things at the end of the year last year. Ray Joseph could be a starter at the slot. Obviously, filling Restrepo's shoes is not going to be easy for anybody. I think Malachi Toney could play there as well. Miami has some talent in the tight end room, despite, you know, losing Elijah Arroyo to the NFL. I think Elijah Lofton can really step up this year. But compared to last season, Dan, there's a lot of youth and there's a lot less experience than there was at receiver last year. So that's one area where you're going to have to hope and expect certain guys like JoJo Trader and Ray Joseph to hopefully really step up as they get more playing time this year. I still think Miami's probably going to go out and get a guy, because remember, Miami landed Carson Beck basically at the end of the transfer portal in the winter. You know, he, the same way Cam Ward did the year before, he was declared for the NFL draft, and then in mid-January, he changed his mind, decided to come to Miami. So you got another transfer portal coming up after spring ball. It's going to open in April, April 15th. The next transfer portal is going to open. And there's already been rumors and speculation that, you know, Miami could land like a bigger name from someone else. So I think that the receiver core is still a work in progress, but something Miami should have an advantage even over what Georgia had last year is the offensive line. You know, Georgia's O-line took a little bit of a step back last season. Miami's O-line should be one of the better ones in the country. Plus, you're going up primarily against ACC D-lines, not SEC D-lines, which definitely makes a difference. And Miami should have a good running game. So those are things that Receiver room, I still think, is probably a work in progress. But when it comes to offensive line, running game, Miami's in really good shape.
Yeah, if you've got to think, if you're one of those big-time receivers out there looking to transfer, you look over at Miami, you see what happened last year, you see Carson Beck is here. Wouldn't be the worst place to transfer to, I would think. So maybe there is going to be something in the transfer portal. As far as running back, when we lose Damian Martinez, are we going to expect more Jordan Lyle this year? Or should we maybe be expecting what we saw a little bit more last year of just about running back by committee?
Yeah, I think Mark Fletcher and Jordan Lyle are probably going to be the big 1-2 punch, with Lyle being a little bit quicker, Fletcher being bigger, more powerful battering ram. I think Fletcher's probably going to start most of the games, but I think situationally there's going to be some games where Fletcher's going to get more work depending on the defenses you're going up against, other games that may Lyle and his quickness may help you a little bit more. Gerard Pringle is someone who I think can contribute as well. So I think Miami's going to be fine. I mean, Damian Martinez was great, especially second half of the year. Don't get me wrong, but I think Miami's going to be fine. I think Fletcher and Lyle can definitely fill that void. So I think it's going to be primarily a 1-2 punch, but there's going to be third and fourth running back that can also get into it.
And then, of course, everyone's going to start asking about the defense. How are they going to scheme things differently? Of course, they're going to have a different defensive coordinator, but what can we kind of look for from this defense that towards the end of the year they really faltered down the stretch?
Yeah, the defense needed an overhaul. They're trying to give that group an overhaul. I mean, Lance Guidry, who was the DC the past 2 years, he was let go after the season, just didn't have enough answers or adjustments last year. Corey Heatherman, the guy that they brought in to replace him, who's going to be the DC and is also going to coach the linebackers. You know, Heatherman, he transformed Minnesota's defense last year. He was the DC at Minnesota. They were 69th in the country before he took over. He got them into the top five, top 10 in most every category last year. So he did a really good job in one season. He's very aggressive. He likes to keep things simple because I think at some points I thought Miami probably over-schemed last year. And, I think they're going to keep things a little bit more direct for this defense. And you needed personnel, Dan, because Miami didn't have enough in the defensive back room last year. And they basically, at those positions, safety and corner, they raided the transfer portal. They've already brought in five new DBs, including Xavier Lucas, a cornerback who they got from Wisconsin, who could start or compete to start this year. Zechariah Poyser, a highly rated safety from Jacksonville State, could start or compete to start this year. Same thing with guys like Charles Brantley and Ethan O'Connor and Emmanuel Carnley. Miami has they've got a few young guys that I like at defense back. OJ Frederick, who I think just had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to him. Had a really good year as a true freshman last year at corner. He'll probably start again this year. Damari Brown can compete to start. He was injured most of last year. Ryan Mack was injured most of last year as a true freshman, but I think he's going to compete for playing time this year. So that could really be one of the keys to the whole thing, Dan. Getting your defensive backfield, getting the depth in there, which Miami has tried to do. And then on the defensive line, I thought Miami played below their talent level last year. Mm. The defensive line was not consistent enough. Looked like one of the best D lines in the country, but it was feast or famine. There were some games where they looked unblockable and they're getting big time sacks. Other games, like the Syracuse game, they kind of disappear and they can't get pressure. So they need to be more consistent this year. I'm looking, hopefully, a big bounce back season for Reuben Bain, who was injured and for a lot of last year didn't look like himself. Akeem Mezidor came back when he probably didn't have to, probably would have been drafted. I don't know where, but, could have gone out for the draft. He decided to come back for another season this year. Miami added a defensive tackle, David Blay, from the transfer portal. So the D-line needs to be better because, Dan, the secondary was bad enough last year, and it didn't help them that the D-line wasn't putting enough pressure and, maybe exposing those guys a little bit more than they had to be.
And I'll close out the segment with this. I don't know if some Hurricanes fans might not want to hear this, but to me, a successful season is taking a step further, meaning getting to an ACC championship game and getting to the playoffs. I know if you're a Hurricanes fan, that's not what we want. We want to make a deep run into the playoffs. We want to play for the national championship. But I believe in football, especially college football, one step at a time. I believe a successful season would be getting to the ACC championship game, and whatever happens in the playoffs happens, but that shows advancement. Is that a realistic goal, or should I be expecting maybe a little bit more?
Well, if you can at least get into the ACC championship game, you're probably also getting into the playoff. Like SMU last year, SMU lost in the ACC championship game. They still were able to hold on to a college football playoff spot. So that's where I put my goal as well. Obviously, I'd like to win the ACC championship. Clemson is going to be the odds-on favorite for that this year. You know, they return most of their talent from last year. Clemson also made a change at defensive coordinator because their defense wasn't quite good enough. They got Tom Allen from Penn State. You know, they keep Cade Klubnik, who had a good year last year at quarterback. He's going to be, I think, a fifth-year senior next year, so he should do well. There's a lot of continuity for Clemson. So I understand why Clemson, who won the ACC on a down year last year, is expected to win it again. But Miami has the talent where they should be able to compete with them. They don't play in the regular season, so they would only play in the ACC championship game. I believe Miami is probably the most talented team in the ACC. So, yeah, I mean, and I know we say this every year, and it rarely ever happens because they've only played in the ACC championship game, the one time? So I know we set ourselves up for disappointment every year, but I do believe that Miami has the talent where they should at least get to that ACC championship game. Miami has a tough schedule, but a lot of that is the non-conference. Like, you know, I believe me, I want to kick Notre Dame's teeth in, and I want to embarrass Florida again. But at least if you don't win both of those games, that doesn't count against your ACC record. So that wouldn't affect you getting into the ACC championship game. So I want to get to the ACC title game, get to the college football playoff, and then you get yourself in there. And if your offense is good again, you give yourself a chance. Because at least Miami's – if only Miami's offense could have gotten into it last year, if the defense could have made a couple of stops, man, who knows what might have been. Because that Miami's defense was hard. Miami's offense was hard to stop. The defense couldn't stop anybody.
But once you get in, like we saw last year, Ohio State, Notre Dame in the national championship game, it really is anybody's game once you get in. So onward and upward for the Hurricanes, but it starts with a big one. Notre Dame, August 31st, Labor Day weekend, 7:30, national TV, right here on 560 WQAM.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.